I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hour one down, three to go. We'll get into some NFL stuff maybe in the 5 o'clock hour, but feels appropriate to get to the NBA Conference Finals since in about 50 minutes or so, we've got game one in the East tipping off. Game one last night in the West, dare I say, and it was close. It ended up being a blowout. I think everyone's saying that this game wasn't competitive at all. You didn't watch it. Minnesota was up at the half, and even in going into the fourth quarter, it's just that was a competitive game, and then Oklahoma City put their foot on the gas, and then I was watching, and they hit a couple threes, and all of a sudden it got to a double-digit lead for the first time, then it got to like 13-14, and it felt like Minnesota had nothing for them, but that was not a blowout start to finish.
It wasn't super exciting early on, no. But it was competitive.
Well, Minnesota was missing an absolute S-ton of three-pointers, which anyone else see just a theme in this playoffs? Like, when you knock down threes, you win games. And when you go through long bouts where you don't hit them, you don't. I mean, Minnesota, I felt like I was watching the Boston Celtics last night. And some of those were open looks. Oklahoma City was just sending four guys into the paint and basically saying, you are not going to score in the middle. Feel free to keep shooting threes. And they didn't knock any down. And then eventually they turned them over. Oklahoma City got out and ran, and they just went on one of those spurts. It had a very Golden State feel. Golden State used to do that in the playoffs. Remember, they played the Blazers that one year, and Portland led every game by double digits. And then they would just kind of wait on you, wait till you gas out, mash the gas, oh crap, we're up by 10.
Couple stops, couple made threes, and bang, you're on a 15-2 run or something like that.
OKC was down in the first at halftime.
Yeah,
so it was relatively competitive.
Yeah.
The second half, if you just look at the score differential, was
30.
Not close.
Yeah.
OKC looked really bad offensively. They looked out of sorts early. That was an issue. And then I think the big thing you talked about, kind of settling for threes and not even bad threes. They shot a lot of open threes. They just didn't knock them down. Anthony Edwards dinged up his ankle a little bit in that first quarter. And I think he only shot 13 attempts. There were only 13 attempts the whole game. And a lot of that came early.
Yeah. And he even said it after the game. He was like, I effing can't believe I only shot the ball 13 times.
Well, I think part of it was that ankle potentially was bugging him where he didn't attack. I saw that it was a career long for him in terms of where his field goals, how far away from the basket his field goals were. It's the longest, furthest away his average shot was his entire career.
Indicating he's not able to, like, elevate.
He wasn't attacking. He went to the basket. He attacked the basket one time, and he drew that foul where he tried to just absolutely annihilate the rim and the defender, and he got fouled. Other than that, he didn't. When he's not breaking down OKC's defense, they don't have a lot of guys who can really put the ball on the you know, can dribble and get to the rack and create chaos. And so when OKC clogged it up, they sort of just passed the ball around the perimeter and shot threes. And that's not going to work when NAW, Dante DiVincenzo, and Naz Reid combined to go 5 of 28 from three.
No.
You're not winning those games.
No.
So I think if you're saying this series won't be competitive because this game wasn't competitive, and I'm not saying you are, the listener, I think you're off base there, because I want to say OKC on open three-point attempts shot something like 60%, whereas on open ones, not just because, okay, good defense, and Minnesota shot something like 28% on their open threes.
Yeah, Oklahoma State hit 52% of their three-pointers
overall,
and Minnesota, I think, was like 28%.
So if that just kind of evens out, and Anthony Edwards gets a little better, and he can attack the rim, and he starts shooting a little more, we might very well have a series. After all, that first half, Minnesota ended the half up.
Yeah.
So Julius Randle was going nuts. He was like 5 of 6. Minnesota,
and then he stopped shooting too, which was
I think
weird.
He got dinged up too.
Minnesota lost game one and then ended up rolling on. Now, I get it. There was some in the previous series, and I get it. There were some other things involved there too. But Minnesota is a resilient team. I just find it funny, the narrative. You lose one game, and all of a sudden, like, all the national media is saying that this is a non-competitive series, and Oklahoma City is this dominant team. And remember, we just got done watching Oklahoma City get taken to the absolute wall by a Denver team that was playing with basically 5 healthy bodies. I'm not ready to write off Minnesota, especially when you have a night where you shoot so poorly. I just go back, like, if you knock down, this is the Boston Celtics, if you knock down open threes, that's a different game into the fourth quarter. And we've also seen Oklahoma City in games decided by 5 points or less in these playoffs, they're 2-3. If you take Oklahoma City into deep water, they're not a great execution team down the stretch. They just are so deep, and they play such suffocating defense. They rely on that Golden State, we're going to have a 7-minute run where we're going to knock you out. But if you can survive that punch and get them into deep water, you you can be physical with Oklahoma City. I mean, they are not a big, rugged team. They play great defense, but I really thought that Minnesota might be able to lean on them a little bit, and it was not.
I think it's silly in some ways to say Minnesota should feel good after game one and a 26-point loss.
Yeah.
That being said, for Anthony Edwards getting dinged up and you shooting some abysmal amount on your open threes, and knowing that OKC seems to want to clog the paint on you, you have to feel like, again, if Anthony Edwards doesn't get dinged up and we start knocking down threes, there's a path forward even in a 26-point loss. One of the things I thought was really weird, because we talked about yesterday that we thought somewhere in the first quarter, when you're watching a game as a neutral fan, that something grabs you and you have a rooting interest because it's center stage, and that's kind of just human nature.
Sure.
I'm going to say I didn't experience that in game one. I just sort of let the game come to me. However, nationally and with a lot of folks seemingly regionally, they now have turned on OKC to such an overwhelming, and I said regionally I thought that might happen because OKC used to be the Seattle Supersonics, and Seattle had a reason to not like them. I'm really surprised at how quickly the narrative has turned on this OKC team to where Shea is the new James Harden who's just drawing fouls. He's just foul farming. And this team is a juggernaut that we hate, even though they kind of were the darlings of the Build the Right Way model for 5 years. It's immediate. They haven't even won anything yet. And people already hate them.
I was listening to my favorite radio station today, and Dirt went on like a tremendous. I don't know. Can we... Do we have the ability to, like, Dirt went on like a...
If you know when it was, I can find it.
I'll see if I can find it. Dirt went on a phenomenal, like, 3-minute rant on hating Oklahoma City.
Where is it coming from?
And I was like, I was like, holy crap. And then Danny today, I was driving in, I flipped over, and Danny was like, I am so sick of the Oklahoma City Thunder getting credit. And he goes, they're lucky, and I'm tired of this narrative. And I was like, oh my God, because you had just said that yesterday. I'm like, the hate is real.
They're not even a champion team yet.
No, and the hate has become real. And then the Harden stuff, like, I thought Shea was a very likable, like, I watched the gold medal documentary on Netflix about the USA winning the gold medal.
Yeah, yeah.
Shea played for Canada, and he seems like a pretty quiet, understated guy. Never seen him have any real kind of like heated sort of like controversy. He just seems like kind of a quiet, like a quiet star, and he's going to win his first MVP. And now all of a sudden he's turned into James Harden, and we hate the way he plays, and the officials are in the bag. And I was like, oh my God, like overnight they've become public enemy number one. It's fascinating.
So, my question is, do we need a juggernaut to hate? And we've talked about, too, that this is a Final Four.
Yeah.
You know, East and West, where no one's won in a long time.
No.
You can't hate the Knicks. If the Knicks win for the first time in forever, they're going to be the national darling.
Yeah.
You can't hate the Pacers. They're the Indiana Pacers. You can't hate the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're in Minnesota. So there is no juggernaut. But we have heard for a long time, if we're talking narratives, yeah, we have not talked about this Knicks team being on a slow build to this place for multiple years.
Yeah.
Indiana, we mostly discounted. Tyrese Halliburton was voted by players the most overrated player in the league. Minnesota has put some pieces together and they've kind of gambled, but no one's talked about, other than Anthony Edwards being a face of the league.
Yeah.
We haven't really, there hasn't been buildup. There's no runway to this Minnesota team, but there has for OKC.
For a long time.
For a long time. Yeah. They built the right way. They got a little lucky in the trade in the sense that they traded for SGA and he developed into an MVP. But even that's wonderful. He developed into an MVP from a small market. There's a lot to like there. And yet, because they're the only team seemingly that's had any sort of championship runway, we have decided that they're the big bad bully of the NBA, and it took, wait for it, one game in the Western Conference Finals. Right,
hate OKC, stole the Sonics, F that owner, their style sucks, ugly to watch, SGA is a foul merchant.
What?
It's the day. I thought normally you had to win like multiple championships, but I guess every story needs a villain, and we've got one, and Welcome to the new villain, who, by the way, is going to have an MVP. So I'll talk about that when we come back, because even that debate has become real interesting, and that Oklahoma City has become seemingly overnight the most polarizing team in the NBA. That when we come back, primetime here on The Fan. All right, we're talking about why, for seemingly unknown reasons, Oklahoma City has become the most hated team in America, and like before this year. So the report came out today, and they'll probably do it Game 2, which would be tomorrow. They're going to give Shea his MVP.
Yeah, he won. They've announced he won. They just didn't give him the trophy.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think they've announced that he won. It's just that once that happens, it's leaked. But I don't think it's officially been announced by the NBA. They're just saying that, yeah, sources. OKC's SGA is the MVP. So they'll give it to him mid-court, probably before the game of Game 2. And in previous iterations of this, everyone hated on Jokic. Like, he three MVPs, this is ridiculous. Kendrick Perkins was all bitchy and moany. And so this year, the big debate was, it was going to be Shea or it was going to be Jokic. Jokic averaged a triple-double. Mm-hmm. Jokic took a team of no one to the brink. They took Oklahoma City to Game 7, although it's a regular season award. And I also saw this. Jokic is the first player in NBA history to be top three in points, rebounds, and assists.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been done.
Right.
And by the way, he averaged a triple-double, and when Westbrook did that, we gave the MVP
on a bad team.
On a bad team.
He won MVP on a bad team doing that.
So there were a lot of people that were like, no, this should be Jokic's award, but you know, we do this a lot in the NBA where, hey, it's your time and Jokic has gotten his flowers and Shea had an incredible year. And by the way, he totally deserves the MVP, led the league in scoring. The guy's been great, best team in the NBA. And so I thought this was going to be like a real happy moment in my NBA circles. Like, hey, right, young up-and-coming guy, did it the right way. Oklahoma City led his team, took their lumps. Here's Shea's award. And now all of a sudden it gets announced that Shea is going to be the MVP. And everyone's like, boo, James Harden, you bitch. You're, what is it, the foul merchant now?
Yeah.
And we all hate the
way
he plays?
Free throw merchant, foul merchant.
Foul merchant.
Oh, my God. I honestly cannot recall like a collective group of people turning on one team that seemingly did it the right way.
Well, I kind of, again, said I thought regionally it might be an issue. I never expected nationally. Okay, this is the NFL fan base turning on the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, how do you hate the Lions?
It's like, oh, they haven't been great for a while. They built the right way, and now they've arrived, and they're going to compete for titles. And we're already like, boo, I hate Jared Goff. Amon-Ra's a punk.
What is there to hate about Shea? And by the way, I saw this.
I don't get it. Because
everyone's doing the foul merchant thing now. 29 other MVPs have shot more free throws than Shea. He's not. He is the 30th. I guess, most proficient free throw shooter of any MVP. So this is not James Harden.
No. And here's my thing. And this is what I actually think it is. Nationally, I think most people don't watch a lot of OKC basketball in the regular season.
Yeah.
This game one, for a lot of people, was their first detailed analytical introduction into the way they play.
And it was a really sloppy game. And the officials gave Shea a lot of calls.
And in this game, Shea got a lot of calls, and they were struggling to score, and he leaned into that.
Yeah.
Both literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
It was a smart play in a sloppy game, but it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Yeah. So I think, honestly, what this speaks to, for the most part, among casual fan, is I haven't watched a lot of OKC. I watched him in game one.
Like
Shea
it.
Leaned into it, got a lot of calls, and he's a free throw merchant.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been.
No.
That's not who he is. And to define him in that way kind of means you're a casual. Because he hasn't been that guy. I mean, it's not like he's the most, you know, it's not like he's the guy who's been to the free throw line the most of any MVP ever.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
No.
It's really strange.
But I want to double check this, but someone said that if you took out his free throws, he still would have led the league in scoring if you took away free throws, but I need to look at that. I think you said if you wiped everyone's free throws away, he would still be the leading scorer if free throws were not accounted in it. So from that standpoint, can you be a free throw merchant? I mean, I'm the first one. I do not watch a ton of Oklahoma City basketball, but I've never once watched him and thought I'm watching James Harden. But listening to Danny today basically just rip this, not just like Shea, he ripped the franchise apart and was like, they're lucky. And, you know, it's just, it's all good fortune.
I didn't hear this.
And it was all about how, like, he hates when luck gets conflated with skill. And I was like, yikes. Like, Danny was tired. And as interesting as that was, it was nothing compared to what I heard this morning. I'm walking my dog. I turn on Dirt and Sprague, and I'm like, oh, it's a little lighthearted Dirt and Sprague in the morning. And I just happened to tune in right when they were talking about Oklahoma City, and Dirt gave us this.
I am so out on SGA. I can't do it. I don't enjoy watching him play. It's not entertaining to me. He flops. He gets the benefit of the whistle that seemingly nobody else does in these moments. Like he had so many buckets last night, or attempted buckets, where you get like Doris Burke. How does he even get that shot off? It's like, well, he seeked out the contact. There wasn't hardly any contact, and then he just fell over. So he shouldn't have had to have fallen to the ground to get that shot up. But he did, because that's what he does, and then he gets to the foul line. He had 31 points on 27 shots because he got to the free throw line 14 times last night. Like, there's a lot of James Harden in it. James Harden at least was an elite shooter from time to time from the three-point line, so there was another element of his game.
He got 9 assists.
I'm not saying he's a bad basketball player. I'm not saying he's terrible.
You're out on it, Bob.
Terms of the aesthetics of watching it, I don't enjoy that at all. And I found myself last night, I already don't like them for so many different reasons. For one, they stole a team. Two, you get the graphic that when was the last time these teams won an NBA championship? And for OKC, it says 1978. No, you didn't. You didn't have a team in 1978, so get the hell out of here with that nonsense. We have to pretend as if this is some diehard NBA city when all they've known is Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, like elite players. Oh, you're two down years, but you got gifted an MVP in one of the worst trades we've seen in the last 10 years in the NBA. Like, I can't stand the organization. I hate their colors. I hate their fans. I hate their city. I hate everything about them. And now the MVP of the league is going to be some foul-hunting, flopping Canadian. Get the hell out of here. I was pissed last night.
Still pissed, apparently. What? Can we just say it? So I just looked it up.
That's
well done.
That is literally, and by the way, I am not joking. That was 45
That's
seconds
hilarious.
Into me turning on their show.
And good morning to you, too.
That's what I got.
So
Shea, I just started laughing. I was like, oh, my God.
Shea was fourth in the NBA in free throw attempts, yeah. which makes sense because he was the leading scorer. Yeah. So you would, if you're shooting a lot and scoring a lot, mm-hmm. you're going to get fouled more than guys who aren't. But he's three attempts per game behind Giannis.
Yeah.
And he only has one free throw attempt per game more than Paolo Banchero, who no one sees as like this elite. I mean, he's a good player, but no one sees him as this elite scorer who's drawing fouls all the time. One free throw a game more than Paolo Banchero, and we're like, whoa, this is. I mean, I just yeah, I don't understand
guy,
it. I think people saw game one. Don't you guys, am I crazy? Because Shea,
I think that's part of it.
Shea isn't that guy. I mean, he's a lot of NBA, like Luka looks for a whistle every time he shoots.
I do think it's a little
every
bit
time
of
he shoots.
The tail wagging the dog a little bit because it feels like there's at least been this internet discourse this playoffs about the theory of foul baiting. There was a lot of it with Jalen Brunson over in the East, too.
That's right.
And I think there's a little more favor for the Knicks because they're like the Cubs were. They're a little bit of a lovable underdog that hasn't won in a while with the city that loves ball and all of that. So they're painted with slightly different brush. But I feel like people are just more aware of players using that as part of their game, and it's like a fun thing to rabble about.
Yeah, it's just... I guess I just wasn't prepared for this level of Oklahoma City hate. And someone else points out that, like, James Harden is the 14th all-time leading scorer in the NBA and is an MVP. Why is James Harden all of a sudden, like, if you're being compared to James Harden, you suck? And by the way, James Harden bowed out in the playoffs a lot, but Shea isn't bowing out in the playoffs. He's young, and he's led his team to a 1-0 lead in the conference finals. But I like that he threw in the Canadian dude just for good measures. Like, you Canadian son of a bitch.
I just want to get the hell out of here.
James Harden's style
of play
was very off-putting to a lot of people. That he did seek out, and he kind of had that herky-jerky in the lane thing. And he was a master,
his head a little bit.
master class at it, where he got people up in the air and he drew fouls, and people didn't like it. But he was... getting to the free throw line at an historic rate for several years there. Again, that's not Shea. In game one, sure. And every star in the league, Dame, looked for the whistle a lot late in his Portland years. There was a lot of chirping to the official about getting to the free throw line. A lot of stars want a favorable whistle. So I don't think that Shea is an outlier in that regard. Again, I think there is no juggernaut. We need to have a juggernaut. And I'm not saying necessarily in Dirt or Danny's case, just in general where this came from. There is no juggernaut. The only team that's had any runway is here comes a super team is OKC. And they did kind of steal a franchise from Seattle, but that's not this team, and Shea certainly didn't do it. And then game one was sloppy, and Shea getting to the line was a narrative. So there we go. There's where we come up with a narrative for game one, because otherwise it wasn't a very good game in which Minnesota settled for a lot of threes and didn't knock them down.
Someone said replace SGA with Joker, and that Dirt rant applies to Joker too. That's what I was saying. Like, we all were hating on Joker. And then we're like, we can't have him win another one. And now we give it to Shea. We're like, where is the MVP that, like, if Anthony Edwards won, do we love Anthony Edwards? Or is this just a case of whoever is the next flavor, we hate them? Because we hated Boston, right? Last year, seemingly, Joe Mazzulla is insane and it's kind of fun. And Tatum is, by all accounts, like the nicest dude in the NBA, right? And it was built mostly through homegrown talent. They drafted Brown, they drafted Tatum. They were very smart, and by the way, they turned Pritchard from nothing into a sixth man of the year. And they did a nice job of acquiring some pieces and going out and making smart deals for like Drew Holiday and
Derek White.
Al Horford is really likable. A great vet. So like they were assembled like in a really efficient and well built way. But we hated Boston. So is it just a matter where we just hate who's ever...
And you know what? We hated them right until the point that Achilles went out. And then everyone was like, oh, Jason Tatum's the greatest. We feel so bad for those guys. It's like, you had to knock them off the throne. And then as soon as they're down, you're like, ah, but we love them.
We did this to Golden State, though,
too. A little bit, yeah.
And Draymond was never...
It took a while. That's my thing. It took us a while to hate Golden State.
Because they were being compared to LeBron.
and LeBron was at the top of the mountain for a long time. So this was an other, right? There is no, that's what I'm saying, there is no big.
They were the LeBron, the best can't be the LeBron killer.
It was always LeBron's in the finals, so yeah. They're the LeBron killer. There has to be a narrative, and this year there is no big bad.
So now we just
who's Thanos? There's no Thanos. We have to pick one.
Can we hate Chet instead? Like,
oh, we do.
I would much rather hate. I would much rather hate Chet than I would.
Kind of like Chet.
SGA seems so incredibly likable.
Exactly.
While you were saying he seems likable in the last segment, he was on TV with Barkley and he's laughing through the interview. They're teasing him, and I'm like, well, okay. As you're saying that, he's like laughing, having fun with an interview. By the way, just to give Jokic his flowers for just a minute, he's the first player since Larry Bird to be top two in MVP voting 5 years in a row.
Yeah, well, he's the best.
That's incredible.
Regardless of what anyone says, dude, that guy is the best player in the league. He's been the best player in the league, and it's the LeBron thing. You probably could have given LeBron the MVP 7 years in a row, Barry Bonds-esque. Joker's been the MVP the last 5 years. He was the best player this year, but this is what we do. We get tired of one thing.
But narratives.
And we move on to the next, and that way Kendrick Perkins doesn't, you know, have a fat roll blow up and freak out over Jokic winning another one. Someone did point out everyone still likes Giannis. Get this, though. This is my new working. We need a villain in the NBA, right? I read today, I think it was on Yahoo, they're saying that multiple agents believe that Giannis ass out this offseason. That he's going to, that's it's a foregone conclusion. Milwaukee knows it. And there's really three teams that he would go to, because he's only going to go and re-sign with a contending team. And they're saying there's really only three teams that have the collection of young talent and assets and would be good enough that he would agree to go to. One of them being San Antonio, that he would pair with Wemby and he would pair with Fox, and they would give up Castle and the number two overall pick and maybe something else. Houston would be another one. You could put together one or two young players and, again, multiple ones, and you put him in Houston and you go. And the other one is, and this is where my big villain art goes. If you want the ultimate villain in the NBA, it's simply this. Oklahoma City wins the title this year. They win. And in the offseason, their big move is they take Chet and they take 5 ones, ship their ass up to Milwaukee, and Giannis, the most likable guy in the NBA, comes to Oklahoma City and they win 3 in a row. And you want to talk about like a group that could be hated on? Giannis and Oklahoma City, seemingly these very likable, great story. Instantly, we would all hate them so, so very much. And then Giannis goes full like heel turn, like Hollywood Hogan style, starts flipping people the bird, starts telling fans to suck it, and Oklahoma City just goes out and dominates everyone and wins 2-3 in a row. That's the villain arc. That's Tony Stark becoming Dr. Doom. That's what I want in my NBA. I want Oklahoma City to be like, dude, you want to hate us? You want us to be the villain? Watch this.
It's so quick. I'm still trying to, I get it. I hear you. I love it. I'm still trying to wrap my head around OKC even being. I don't understand
it. Have to hate him,
but if that Giannis trade happens, you know who's the sneaky villain just in that trade? It's the Portland Trailblazers.
Oh.
Because they would have to help facilitate via the picks, right?
Would they?
Wouldn't they?
I don't know. I mean, Oklahoma City has an F ton of picks.
Don't they control the Bucks' picks?
Yeah, but they would stay with the Bucks. Like the Oklahoma City has so many draft picks.
So you're saying the only way it works, there's no other thing coming.
They could give up Chet and maybe another young, and then they would give up like 5 ones, and that would just be swapped.
All right, so they have their own. They have 2 first-rounders and a second this upcoming draft. They have 3 first-rounders in 2026. They have 2 more in 2027. They have another in 2028. Yeah. They have 2 more in 2029. They've got another in 2030 and another in 2031.
Yeah, Oklahoma City. Multiple places are reporting that the Blazers and who's the other team? Oh, heavens. And the Pelicans.
Yeah, could be involved in a Giannis deal.
Because it would free up their availability with picks.
Yeah, but that's with Milwaukee. I don't think in like the Oklahoma City case, I don't necessarily, because Oklahoma City wouldn't want any picks back or anything. I think they would just need Giannis.
Okay. So specifically with that trade.
I think that could just be in Oklahoma, but I could be wrong. But that's what I'm rooting for. I want full villain arc. I want Oklahoma City and Giannis to become the freaking Darth Vader of the NBA and just lean into that ass, because I don't get it. I do not get the Oklahoma City hate. And dare I say, I was waiting to find a rooting interest in this. I didn't have one. And now that seemingly we all hate SGA and we hate Oklahoma City, I'll go Thunder.
Well, if you want to hate on me more as a Warriors fan, they've been bandied about now. Brian Windhorst saying the Warriors have a package to get Giannis that includes a sign-and-trade with Kuminga, giving up Podziemski and a couple first-round picks.
Yeah, how could that even touch what Oklahoma City has to offer?
Oh, I don't know. I guess if you're getting, I mean, if you're getting guys that you are already NBA players that you know that you want.
Golden State, get out of here. I love that you're offering.
He was dapping up Doc Rivers at the Valkyries game, and everyone's reading the tea leaves. Lord. Giannis wants to team up with Steph and Jimmy. Let's go.
In the news when we come back.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. With beginnings.
What keeps the planet spinning? Breaking news. I just saw this as we head into In the News. Rest in peace, Jim Irsay. 65 years of age, so still very young. The owner of the Indianapolis Colts, who, dare I say, how would you, like, complicated, troubled?
Uneven.
Yeah, I like that.
An uneven career.
An uneven career. So rest in peace, one of the game's most towering figures is the way it was posted. And again, 65 years old, and it said, we are devastated to announce our beloved owner and CEO, Jim Irsay, passed away peacefully in his sleep this afternoon. And then it goes on, dedication, passing, all that. And he was the son of the founder of the cult. So it doesn't really say what was the cause of it. as far as I knew, I didn't know that Irsay was battling anything. So just kind of one of those like kind of shocking things when I saw it come across the old Twitter feed there. I was like, oh my gosh, Jim Irsay.
So according to The Guardian, Colts owner Jim Irsay, this is previously, was treated for an overdose at his home in December.
Well, and that's...
So again, that's where that uneven comes in. Yeah.
Well, he's had a...
He's had some ups and downs off, away from football, let's say.
Which is why I didn't want to... Look, at 65 is like that... It's like that middle ground.
It's in between.
It's in between. Because when someone dies at 45 and that's had substance abuse problems, your first thing is, well, chances are. 65, it's like, is it related to that? I don't want to make any assumptions. But Irsay was a big figure. He was a big figure in the NFL. And some people loved him. Some people not so much. But 65 is very, very young, to say the least. So... rest in peace, Jim Irsay, and what do they owe? T's and P's, thoughts and prayers to his family, because that 65 is too young.
It's unfortunate.
That's unfortunate. No doubt. Especially, again, if you did battle substance abuse issues for a lot of your years. It is May 21st in the year of our Lord, 2025, and it is time for In the News. I'm your Noted News contributor, sitting in for your Noted News man who should be back tomorrow. It is National Slushy Day. Do you enjoy a good slushy?
I do, yeah.
I can't say I don't know when the last time I had a slushie. I enjoy a slushie, but the slushie really isn't on my it's not on my radar.
I think when you have young kids, it goes with having a messy backseat in your car.
Yeah,
you dabble in slushies because kids love a good slushie.
Yeah, well, it's just pure sugar.
Yes,
and so I try to avoid. I mean, like, I'm not saying that I eat healthy, but I try to avoid stuff that seemingly is just like 800 calories of pure sugar.
It's snow cone in a cup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also National Waitstaff Day, so. Shout out to all you waiters and waitresses out there. Very tough job and not fairly compensated. And then now we're getting into that whole tip war thing.
Yeah, yeah.
People get all pissy about that. Also, happy birthday to Mr. T, born in 1952.
Really?
And 1816, this was the day that the bicycle, a.k.a. the Swift Walker, was first introduced to the United States of America.
The bicycle was originally known as the Swift Walker?
The Swift Walker.
Also... Was the first bike the one that had the giant front wheel and the small... Why was that the...
It does seem that that's the dumbest idea in the history of inventions.
And also, like, it was invented and it was like, this will be good when it's fixed by a lot.
And the name Swift Walker doesn't fit it at all.
Well, I think the idea is that it instead of walking...
It takes you more swiftly, I get that. Yes. But you look at that thing, you don't think that's a Swift Walker. With that big ass wheel bicycle? No.
Yeah, that can't be the name of it.
I would like to know. Again, following the invention curve. All right, so we got the idea of walking takes a long time, you get tired. So if we're on a wheel, it can go much faster.
Yes,
I get that.
Yes.
What was the idea behind that? Did they think that because the wheel was so big that it made you go faster? Because like in those things, you had to like get a there had to be like a step ladder to get up on the bike. It seems like I don't know why someone started out there and then eventually made it down to the normal size wheel.
Okay, now wait a minute. You said 1817?
Yes, I believe it was 1817.
Okay.
1819, sorry.
The first ever model for a bicycle appears to be something that would just, it's a bike, but it has a seat and your legs are on the ground and there's no pedals. You are doing the walking.
So that's
as
the Swift Walker.
So it is. It makes sense as a Swift Walker.
Hmm.
It was also called a running machine.
Wait. So
it looks like.
So it. Now I'm confused. So they're saying that this is the first bike, but it wasn't really a bike. Oh yeah.
Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah. So you would just. It would be like when you start off on a scooter and then occasionally you would just pick your feet up and roll a little bit and then you would...
Well, that's the little kid thing right now, right? The Strider bikes where you basically, you don't have pedals, you just have the two wheels and you kind of get a little running start and then you pick your legs up and roll around a little bit.
Okay, so if that was the start of the bicycle craze in the U.S., 1819, how did we go from the Swift Walker? Again, my whole question is how did we get from there to the giant wheel?
That's what I asked.
It doesn't makes no sense.
Here, let me improve upon this. It will make it really clunky, and if you hit a rock, you're going to fall 8 feet out of the air.
You would think the evolution of the bike would never have led to the big wheel.
Right.
And every now and then I do see one of the like you do see, like, at the naked bike ride, you see hipster douches that are on really high bikes like that. Like, where they're modern bikes, but with giant tires.
Yeah, it's like a novelty thing.
Yeah, it's a novelty thing. It's like driving a, you know, like a fixed-geared bicycle.
There are inventions, it seems, or tweaks to inventions, where you go, you know, not necessary.
Yeah.
Step back. We've taken a step back here, and the giant wheel on the front of a bike is definitely one of those.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone's saying the big wheels for circuses and performers. But I see, you see people, like, on the street, and they're wearing their little caps.
No, that used to be a thing, for sure.
I don't know. I'm just glad that we don't have the. The big wheel. All right. When we come back, we got the special elections that went down yesterday, and so results are trickling in. So we'll find out which community said yay to schools and which said no. And where does Portland rank worldwide as the happiest city to live in? That when we come back in the news.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, welcome in. Doing a little in the news right now. Getting into some NFL stuff coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. And then we got the NHL Game 1 in the West. And then the NBA Game 1 in the East. And that'll be a puck drop and tip-off, I think, roughly in about 25 minutes. It says 5, but that's usually more like kind of a 5:10, 5:15-ish thing.
Is it accurate? The game's on TNT.
Yeah.
Reggie Miller's on the call.
Is he?
If it's on TNT, Reggie Miller's on the call.
That could be a little weird.
Windhorst talked about it on his pod that He thought Reggie Miller would be on the call for game one for TNT.
Huh.
That's wild in a Knicks-Pacers series.
I mean, Herb Street, like, I mean, he calls Ohio State games. So, I mean, you just
hope they're are mostly impartial. And, yeah, most of those guys don't get taken off of that.
It would be like Baker Mayfield being the commentator for an Oklahoma-Ohio State bowl game. Like, when you're the instigator of part of the rivalry.
But Herb Street's a good example. I mean, every time Ohio State plays a big game, which was a lot this season, he's up there.
But he's not like, part of the narrative of the rivalry. He's a guy that
plays. I get what you're saying.
But, like, Baker Mayfield is the reason there's hate there. Reggie Miller is an integral part of the hatred in the rivalry. I think he will do a good job. I happen to like Reggie Miller, and it would be fun. But it's interesting. It's just interesting.
All right, we had the special elections that were happening yesterday, so some of the results started trickling in. And by the way, some of these are probably too close to call, but most of this stuff is like school board leadership and school bonds. But the big one here that everyone was waiting for in Multnomah County was the Portland Public Schools bond. It was $1.8 billion and some change that was on the table, and we talked about this yesterday. I am always in favor of voting for public schools.
Same.
But I get why some people balk at this, because it is true. I believe it's still accurate. But for most years, we usually spend more than any other state per student in our schools. And
we don't rate real high.
We don't rate real high. So it's like, do we use the money that we have properly? Probably not. But if you ask me to vote for schools, I'm almost always saying vote for schools, vote for teachers. And so it was a good sign that the voters did approve the $1.83 billion Portland Public Schools bond. And a big chunk of this is going to go to upgrading some high schools. So Jefferson gets redone. What was the other one? It was Jefferson, Cleveland, and Wells.
Ida B. Wells, yeah.
Yes. All of those. And so that's 1,700 students. And as someone who, this happened a couple years ago in Clark County, we got a bunch of new schools over in the Evergreen School District. They really are nice. They are, it's amazing to see what can be done when you redo these schools.
It can change the culture of a community when your high school is pristine and people care about it. And it looks and feels like it's a real spectacle and a pillar of the community.
Now, I will say this, and I did enjoy that the district officials admitted this. The three high schools that are set to be redone, they are scheduled between $430 and $466 million apiece. Those would make them the most expensive high schools ever built in the United States. And the district did say they are committed to whittling that price tag down and then putting any savings towards middle schools and elementary schools. So I at least like that they acknowledged.
They aimed high.
They aimed high. They're like, yeah, we got 1.83 and we've put this aside. Do you need $450 million to build a high school? I think you can probably build a very nice high school without it being $450 million. So I appreciated that they acknowledged that and, like, let's try to do some cost.
But I do wonder if they seized on an opportunity thinking, okay, this will probably pass. Let's aim as high as humanly possible so that we don't have to come back. Because you'll see that sometimes with construction or with something that passes. It's going to be X amount, and it's X times two.
Yeah.
And they have to come back and say, okay, we need another vote because this is only half built and we don't have the money.
Yeah.
At least they aimed so high that the district's going to be well taken care of, potentially.
Mount Hood Community College, their bond appears headed for defeat. People said nuts to that. Apparently, community college not getting the love that our
not a priority schools.
The Tiger Tualatin, that is for $421 million, and that is too close to call right now.
Okay.
I mean, some of these are running. And honestly, even the ones that passed, I mean, they are, like, razor thin.
I think there was one for Gladstone.
That did not go well. So they're saying the Gladstone one is basically done.
Done.
So some of these are still trickling in, but they have called some yay and some no. So the Mount Hood one and the Gladstone one were the two that they said not. So the Tiger Tualatin one is your... You're crossing your fingers and hoping that can go through.
And if you were going to guess ahead of time which areas were more likely to pass for schools and which weren't, that's exactly how I thought it would go.
Well, and unfortunately, too, a lot of communities that aren't as well off vote these sorts of things down, and then that leads to, again...
Further decline.
Further decline. Yeah. So it's tough. It's tough on these things. Wealthy communities tend to vote overwhelmingly in favor of these things. And minority communities and communities that maybe aren't doing so well tend to vote against them, and that goes into the whole circle, and it stinks. It certainly is a problem. I did see this, though. they did a ranking of the 200 happiest cities in the world.
Oh.
We don't have a single one in the United States. So that kind of stinks. Those damn, it's all the Scandinavian countries. They dominate this. You got Copenhagen and you got Stockholm. Munich made it in there. Zurich, Singapore, Antwerp, get a little Belgium. Seoul, South Korea. My daughter just moved to Seoul.
Yeah.
Yeah, she moved from Busan up to Seoul. But we did get some U.S. cities that made the top 200. Would you care to guess, did Portland make the top 200 cities in the world for happiest cities?
I'm going to say yes.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
I'll say 182.
But I bet they're going to be behind San Diego.
Let me just say this for the record. Those sons of bitches down in San Diego. They're my Oklahoma City.
Let's not.
Screw them. Screw them. The happiest city in the United States, believe it or not, which
screw the learned people. No.
I find fascinating. New York. They're saying New York. Comes in at number 17. Minneapolis is the second happiest city in the United States. Wow. That comes in at 30. And then those sons of bitches from San Diego.
Is that true?
34.
Oh, I was just kidding.
Probably because the weather's so good.
34. That's amazing, especially in the summer.
That's what I hear. Salt Lake at 56, there's one. Seattle comes in at number 80. Trying to some other notable ones. San Jose, 119. Boston, 131. And then little old Portland, Oregon, 141.
I would guess that if they did this 3 or 4 years ago, we wouldn't have made the 200.
No, but if you did
I think things are tracking in the right direction.
If you did it 10 years ago, I think we'd be a lot higher. If you did it 4 or 5 years ago, we'd be a lot lower.
Right.
Now we're kind of on the come up.
That's what I'm saying. I think things are getting better, Portland.
Hey, we're working on it. Especially with the summer weather. Take this poll in the summer and see where we're at. We're sky high.
There's great sports radio in this city. There's wonderful summers. There's a lot going for it.
Beautiful outside. No reason to go anywhere else. Although if I go on vacation in the next week or two, don't judge me. Could have been planned.
Oh, are you?
Maybe, maybe not.
Okay.
I don't know. All right. Why would I go anywhere in the summer with this beautiful weather?
Yes, yes, of course.
Talk a little tush-push and some of the other NFL news and notes when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.